Good morning, Campbell Baptist Church, and a happy Palm Sunday to you. As we continue getting used to lives of social distancing and self-isolation, let me offer you a resource to help you sit at Jesus' feet and listen to his teaching. Beginning tomorrow, you will be able to access our new Campbell Connects podcast from the Campbell Baptist Church website. What is the Campbell Connects podcast, you ask? It is a new way to connect and serve our church family during this COVID-19 outbreak. It's like a devotional radio broadcast, but available anytime on our church website. It is our prayer that these meditations from God's Word will bring hope and comfort to you during these difficult days. Though the situation around the world is changing daily, we know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This week, we will launch the podcast with a series entitled Holy Week, The Journey to the Cross, and I would invite you to go online and check it out. Speaking of going online, make sure to do so on Friday as well. We will still be having our traditional Good Friday service, albeit in video format rather than in person. The same goes, of course, for our Easter Sunday service. Between the podcast, looking at the different days of Holy Week, and our Good Friday and Easter Sunday services, we trust that you will have a very blessed, very worshipful Easter this year, despite COVID-19. And now, to begin that week, let me direct your attention to our call to worship for this morning, Psalm 118, verses 1 and 2, and then verses 19 to 29. Psalm 118, verses 1 and 2, and then verses 19 to 29. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, Hosanna, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever.
Saves you by his grace and crown him Lord. scribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song.
Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands, my name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart, no tongue can bid me thence depart. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin. Because a sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me, to look on him and pardon me. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God. One with himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God.
Let us direct our attention now to prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are good and that your steadfast love endures forever. Father, we thank you that you sent Jesus to bring salvation, to grant us success. And Father, we want to bless your name this morning because you are good. We want to ascribe to you all the honor and glory that is due to your name. Father, we recognize your sovereign hand in all things. And we know that you who have carried us this far will be faithful to continue carrying us through in the future. Lord, we marvel at your love. We marvel at your grace. We marvel that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us and purchased for us a redemption and the promise of everlasting life. Father, we thank you that as Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ, we have nothing to fear. What can man do to us? And so, Lord, may we live boldly in these days, speaking up for you as we have opportunity, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ through the various channels that we have available to us, online, over the phone, even over the fence at 2 meters distance. Lord, may we be quick to speak of you and your love. Father, we pray during this pandemic that you would be near to the sick and the infected, that you would heal and help them, that you would sustain their bodies, their souls, and their spirits. Father, would you please contain the spread of this infection? For our vulnerable populations, Lord, would you protect the elderly and those suffering from chronic disease? Would you provide for the poor in these days as well, providing for their every need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus? For the young and the strong, Lord, would you give them necessary caution to keep them from unwittingly spreading this disease? And Lord, would you move on their hearts that they would help others in these difficult days? For our local, provincial, and federal governments, Father, we pray that you would grant wisdom to our elected officials, that they would allocate the necessary resources for combating this pandemic well, and that, Father, they would not unduly spread panic in the midst of this, but adequate caution and concern to all who look to them. Father, for our scientific community, we pray that you would give them knowledge and wisdom and a persuasive voice as they lead the charge to understand this disease and to communicate its gravity. Father, would you lead them to a vaccine, to something that would bring an end to this virus? For the media, Father, we pray that they would provide good, up-to-date information, that you would help them to communicate with appropriate seriousness while at the same time, again, not causing panic. For those of us who consume the media, who are looking to be well-informed, Father, would you help us to find the most helpful local information that we might be good neighbors in these days? God, would you guard us from anxiety and panic? Would you enable us to implement the strategies that are recommended to us, even at cost to ourselves? Father, for those with mental health challenges, who feel isolated, anxious, and helpless, Father, would you provide for them every necessary support? For Christian missionaries throughout the world, especially in areas with high rates of infection, Father, would you provide them with words of hope and equip them to love and serve those around them? Father, may the gospel spread like wildfire in these days, even faster than the virus, that men and women around the world who need the Savior would come to the foot of the cross and find salvation for their souls, that come what may, they would know that they have everlasting life. Father, for the various workers in different industries who are facing layoffs and financial hardship, would you keep them from panic? Would you provide for their every need? And would you inspire your people to give generously to help one another in these days? Father, there are so many concerns, so many needs that we face each and every day. And Father, we thank you that you are sufficient to meet our needs. Thank you that we can come and cast all of our care upon you because you care for us. Oh Lord, may we, your people, worship well in these days, knowing that you who have begun a good work in us will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Father, we pray not just for the needs of our body, but we pray for our brothers and sisters, again, around the world. We think in particular of those who belong to the Fellowship of Evangelical Baptist Churches here in Canada. And we would pray this morning in particular for our brothers and sisters at Lighthouse Baptist Church in Amherstburg. Father, as they meet online and find ways of serving one another's needs, would you knit that body together in strong bonds of love one for another? May they be on the phone calling one another, encouraging one another daily as long as it is called today. Lord, would you grant Pastor Adrian Ninibar and those around him wisdom as he leads? And Father, would you fill them with hope? Would you fill them with joy? Would you fill them with your peace as they look forward to your faithfulness being shown to them day after day? And now, Father, as we look to study your word together, we pray that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, seeing as it is Palm Sunday, I thought it would be a worthwhile exercise for us to hit the fast forward button, as it were, in our study of the Gospel of Luke and move all the way up to Jesus' triumphal entry. We will, of course, go back again and cover the material in between. We may even revisit this text when we come around to it again in the months ahead. But for today, let me invite you to take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, where we will look this morning at verses 28 to 44. Luke 19, verses 28 to 44. Hear now the word of the Lord. And when he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say this, 'The Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.' And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out.' And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you because you did not know the time of your visitation." This is the time of Jesus' visitation to Jerusalem. We have been aiming for this day ever since we read Luke 9:51, when Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. Now here he is entering Jerusalem, the Prince of Peace arriving at and weeping for Jerusalem. As we read in verse 41, when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace." Jesus was coming to Jerusalem to make peace. Peace for man with God. As Tibidi Anyabwile says, in Jerusalem, Luke reveals that Jesus is the King of Peace in three ways. First, we get a hint at the theme of peace in the city named Jerusalem. Sometimes cities have nicknames for themselves. Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love, which you can't tell from its sports fans. Pittsburgh boasts that it is Steel City. Detroit, of course, is the Motor City. The name Jerusalem literally means foundation of peace. You can hear it even in the name Jerusalem, Shalem, Shalom. There is that word of peace even in the name Jerusalem. The Lord's kingship of peace is alluded to in a second way in our text. In verses 29 to 35, the Lord instructs his disciples to enter a nearby village. They will find a never-ridden colt there. He tells them to untie the colt and bring it to him. If anybody asks, "Why are you untying it?" they are to answer, "The Lord needs it." Zechariah helps us understand this business with the colt that had never been ridden on. In Zechariah 9:9, we read this, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Zechariah predicted that the true king of Israel would come to Jerusalem on a young, unused colt. When kings came to cities in times of war, they came on mighty war horses, terrible steeds. But when kings came on a donkey, it meant they were coming in peace. If Zechariah's prophecy and Jesus riding on a donkey were too subtle, notice what the crowds say. A praise parade breaks out in verse 37. The crowds seem to fulfill Zechariah's prophecy as they rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. They proclaim, "Hosanna," and lay their cloaks before the Lord. Having witnessed Jesus do great things amplified the praise of the crowds, they discern that the Lord's coming has something to do with peace. Notice what they say in verse 38, "Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Their words in verse 38 hark back to Luke 2:14, where at our Savior's birth, the angels cried out saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to people he favors." Wherever Jesus goes, he brings peace. When he was born and came to earth, the angels cried, "Peace on earth." When the Lord was about to be crucified and ascend to God, then men cry out, "Peace in heaven." Here is the King of Peace entering the city of peace on a beast of peace. Jesus came to make peace. As the Apostle Paul says in Colossians 1 and verse 20, through him, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. How can we get in on this peace? How can we be reconciled to God? Paul tells us in Romans chapter 5, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, that is, declared righteous by God through faith and through faith alone, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, through faith in Jesus Christ and in what he did on the cross to reconcile all things to the Father, we have peace with God. God is no longer our enemy. This is good news because we go astray from the womb speaking lies, doing things that we know to be wrong. We set our minds on what the flesh desires. And as Paul says in Romans 8, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile toward God. It's hostile. But if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Romans 5, verse 10. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid in full for all the sins of those who would trust in him. 3 days later, he rose again from the grave, and now the invitation is open. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will have peace. Spiritual peace with God. But that's not the only kind of peace you will enjoy. I think of Paul's words to the Philippians in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Where he begins to talk about an emotional peace that we can have in our hearts, even here and now on earth. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything, COVID-19 included. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How will this peace of God come into your life so as to guard your heart and your mind? It will do so in Christ Jesus. Jesus came to make peace, to bring peace, spiritual peace with God and emotional peace in your heart in the here and now. The question is, will you receive the peace that he came to bring? In verse 42, Jesus weeps over Jerusalem saying, would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. Jesus was going to make peace, but we still need to know some things in order to enjoy that peace. Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. What are these things that make for peace that Jesus wishes Jerusalem knew about? They are repentance and faith. Faith in Jesus, such as the blind man had on the Jericho road, and repentance for sin, such as Zacchaeus made when he climbed out of his sycamore tree. The things that make for peace are surrender and submission to the royal lordship of Jesus Christ. If we will receive God's peace through repentance for sin and faith in Jesus, then we have great cause for rejoicing. We too will be able to cry out, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." But if we will not receive God's peace with joyful praise, then we need to be prepared for two outcomes that Jesus promised would follow on the heels of our rejection. First, we need to be prepared that the rocks will cry out in praise to Jesus for us. Look again at verses 39 and 40. "And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' But he answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out.'" Philip Ryken rightly notes that by saying this, Jesus was claiming that he deserved the worship of the whole creation. Even if human beings stop singing his praises, he will still have the glory that he deserves. Jesus was riding down the Mount of Olives when he said this. And if necessary, every stone on that mountainside would have joined in his choir. The very stones of the ground would open their mouths to declare their Maker's praise. The Bible says that the creation waits with eager longing for the day of salvation, when it will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Here, Jesus gives us the sense that in that painful longing, the creation is almost bursting to sing its song. The rocks are ready at any moment to break their stony silence and shout for joy that Jesus is King, that Jesus is the Prince of Peace who reconciles all things, even creation that has been subjected to futility, to himself. As Daryl Bach says, "Jesus' reply that if the disciples do not praise him, the rocks will, is important for this reason. Creation speaks when an injustice needs to be avenged." You might think of how God said that the ground cried out, the ground that had Abel's blood spilled on it cried out to him. Creation speaks when an injustice needs to be avenged. It also, these words also contain an inherent rebuke, in that inanimate creation knows more about what is taking place than those who keep silent do. If you can go through a day without praising the Savior, something is wrong. Creation is bursting to sing praises. Oh, that our hearts would be in that same place. So receive God's peace. Receive God's peace with joyful praise, because God will be praised by his creation, even if inanimate rocks must give forth voice to his greatness. The rocks will cry out. The trees will clap. The mountains will skip and sing. The sky will proclaim his handiwork. Everything that has breath will praise the Lord. So praise the Lord. Receive his peace and praise the Lord. Because if you don't, not only will the rocks cry out in praise to Jesus for you, but you will face certain judgment as well. Look again at what Jesus says through tears as Jerusalem comes into view. "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you because you did not know the time of your visitation. As Jewish historian Flavius Josephus tells us, all of these words came true when Jerusalem was conquered by the Romans in AD 70. The city was surrounded as the general Titus set up giant siege works around its walls. The stones of the city were torn down, the temple was destroyed, and the streets ran red with the blood of women and children. So complete was the devastation that when Titus saw it, he threw his arms heavenward, uttered a groan, and called God to witness that this was not his doing. He was acting under orders from Caesar. Now, why did God visit Jerusalem with such destruction in AD 70? He did so because God is a God who judges evil. He was judging Israel for her inability to see and respond to the offer of peace made through Jesus. And there's a warning in there for men and women of every generation. If you will not respond to the offer of peace made through Jesus, then you too will face certain judgment. I think of what Jesus said when certain individuals told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He said to them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or, to bring it up to today, do you think that the million worldwide who have contracted the coronavirus are worse sinners than everyone else living on earth? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. As John Piper says, all natural disasters, whether floods, famines, locusts, tsunamis, or diseases, are a thunderclap of divine mercy in the midst of judgment, calling all people everywhere to repent and realign their lives by grace with the infinite worth of the glory of God. And that's the message of Jesus to the world at this moment in history, under the coronavirus. A message to every single human being, me and you and every ruler on the planet, every person who hears about this. They are receiving a thunderclap message of God saying, repent. Repent and seek God's mercy to bring your lives into alignment with His ultimate worth. As Tibidiania Bwile says, even today, cities are full of people who do not know what things produce shalom. Peace. People try all kinds of things. We pass people along the way who are medicating themselves with drugs and alcohol. We see people trying to calm their raging hearts with sex and relationships, money and power. There are those seeking peace with God in false religions and cults. If you ask them why, they tell you that they are looking for peace. But all of these peace substitutes will not fulfill or last. What we need to do is repent of our peace substitutes, our sinful peace substitutes, and trust Jesus, the one who came to bring peace on earth to those who would believe in him. Because if you don't believe in him, if you won't receive his peace, then the truth of the matter is that you will face a certain judgment. A certain judgment greater even than the destruction that Jerusalem faced. I'm speaking, of course, of the lake of fire. It is a reality. But the good news is you do not need to go there. Yes, the wages of sin is death. Eternal death in the lake of fire, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you will receive his peace, if you will repent and believe in the gospel, then know this: the king who came humble and mounted on a colt, the foal of a donkey, has salvation. And he shall surely cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem. And the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Zechariah 9, verses 9 and 10. He will bring you peace. Peace with God, the peace of God, and one day even peace on earth in his glorious millennial kingdom. So rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Say it with me now. Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Because if we will not rejoice greatly at the coming of our peacemaking king, then the very stones are going to cry out. And we don't want to be shown up by stones, do we? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you for its warning. And thank you most of all for your gospel, that Jesus came to make peace. And oh, that we would know and communicate what makes for peace. That we would be quick to tell others about their need to repent and believe in Jesus. Oh, Father, fill us with joy this Easter season as we know your peace, a peace that passes all understanding, even in the midst of a coronavirus pandemic. Father, may we rejoice greatly as those who have been grafted into daughter Zion, and give you the praise that is due your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
I will glory in my Redeemer, priceless blood has ransomed me. Mine was the sin that drove the bitter nails and hung him on that judgment tree. I will glory in my Redeemer, who crushed the power of sin and death. My only Savior, my righteousness, the Lamb who is my righteousness. I will glory in my Redeemer. My life he bought, my love he owns. I have no longings for another. I'm satisfied in him alone. I will glory in my Redeemer, his faithfulness, my standing place. Though foes are mighty, upon me, my feet are firm, held by his grace. My feet are firm, held by his grace. I will glory in my Redeemer, who carries me on eagle's wings. He crowns my life with love. His triumph song I'll ever sing. I will glory in my Redeemer, who waits for me at gates of gold. And when he calls me, it will be paradise, his face forever to behold, his face forever to.
And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace through Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace.